Vanderbilt taking on Missouri. We were supposed to talk about Vanderbilt and Tennessee as far as tonight, but a lot of moving around with the SEC schedule, just like we have already seen coming up for next week as well. But instead, 11 a.m. kickoff, Vanderbilt 0-7 on the road to take on the Missouri Tigers. Robbie Weinstein with Vandy247.com joins us. Robbie, I've been calling for the first win the last 2 weeks and knocking on the door, well, not the first 2 weeks, two out of the last 3 weeks, with Vanderbilt. Thought they had a chance to get wins against Mississippi State, Kentucky as well. And then last week, you know, they we kind of expected them to lose to Florida, but they held strong and fought to the very end. You know, this is a game just like last year where Vanderbilt, a 3-touchdown underdog, pulls off the win against 22nd-ranked Missouri here in Nashville. Would you be shocked at the end of the day we're talking about Vanderbilt beating Missouri on the road?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I would definitely be surprised. I do expect Mizzou to win. I think they've been, you know, kind of an underrated story in the SEC, actually, so far this season. I mean, they're 3-3, Johnny. I thought that Mizzou could have a really difficult year. We didn't really know what we were going to get out of Eli Drinkwitz, the new head coach over there. And it turns out he's done quite well. They've also got a freshman quarterback in Connor Basilak. He's a redshirt freshman, though, compared to Ken Fields, who's a true freshman. And so I think Mizzou's going to win this one. But, yeah, they did struggle offensively last week in a 17-10 win against South Carolina. That, I think, is the scoreline that Vanderbilt would be looking for, because I think that they generally have a better chance to win a low-ish scoring game. Like, I wouldn't count on Vanderbilt scoring in the 30s necessarily. So ideally, you keep this, you know, in the 20s at most. And if they do that, they've got a shot.
Well, here's the thing. If you tell me, where's your confidence? And I understand Missouri had not played for 3 weeks. In fact, they've already had 6 games this year altered due to COVID-19. But if you told me Missouri struggled early and then scored 17, I go, okay, that makes sense. Instead, they're up 17-0 at halftime. They didn't score right in the final 30 minutes against South Carolina. And then on the other side, you look at this Vanderbilt, you know, offense, what they've been able to do. I mean, they're averaging 428 yards of offense in the last 4 games. Remember how the first 3 games they couldn't even get to 9-point average per contest? They're averaging over 22 points a game now. I'm more confident in Vanderbilt's offense than I am in Missouri's offense.
The new offensive coordinator, Todd Fitch, has done a really amazing job. I think he really has customized the offense in a way that fits this roster. They're getting the ball out quickly. I think the offensive line coach, Pete Rosamondo, has done a really good job with what he has. And the offensive line has done a good enough job in the run game. And then in the passing game, they've taken the pressure off of them by generally getting the ball out pretty quickly. Sometimes they'll bring a tight end in for, you know, a max protection type of situation. The wide receivers have gotten way, way better. I mean, that may be the most improved unit on the team throughout the season, because at the beginning of the season, man, these wide receivers just were not getting open at all. And now Cam Johnson is, you know, putting up pretty good stats, like consistently catching 10 balls a game. Chris Pierce is a senior who really hadn't shown much in his career for the most part, and now has a touchdown in 4 straight games, I think. It's pretty amazing to see how the wide receivers have improved. I really didn't see that coming. So no doubt, I mean, things are coming together for them a little bit. Now, can they finally get – they haven't really had one game where both the offense and the defense plays well. I think that's what they're going to need today, because going on the road is difficult, and Mizzou is in third place in the SEC East right now. They're not a bad team by any means.
Yeah, you mentioned the offensive line for Vanderbilt, which we thought was going to be a major problem for them the entire year, but – you know, they're clicking now in the last 4 games. You know, there's only 4 teams in the SEC that's allowed fewer sacks than Vanderbilt's offensive line. If you had told me that back in the early part of September, knowing the issues with this offensive line, I go, yeah, right, not going to buy it.
Right.
But that speaks volumes with the way this unit is playing together. You know, it's not all about individuals as far as your offensive line. It's the 5 guys, the center, the 2 tackles, the 2 guards, playing well as a group, and that's exactly what this unit has been doing for the Commodores.
100%, and I still don't think the talent is, you know, I don't feel differently about the talent on the offensive line than I did at the beginning of the season, to be honest. I think that these guys have worked really hard to improve. They've worked on their craft. It helps that they have avoided injuries for the most part, and so they've gotten a lot of reps together in that starting five. And then the coaching staff, honestly, you know, I understand that Derek Mason has taken a lot of heat, and he should, because they're 0-7, but whoever is in charge of scheming things with that offensive line and offense in general, Pete Rosamondo, Todd Fitch, maybe Mason some, I don't know, they've done a really good job. I understand that the beginning of the season was really bad and they weren't productive at all, but gosh, I mean, I never would have imagined that Ken Seals was, you know, getting hit and getting sacked as little as he has so far, because I was thinking heading into the season, geez, you're throwing a true freshman into this situation. That's just not ideal at all. It was sort of a Joe Burrow type of situation, you know, with the Bengals, and we saw how that ended up.
How about the fact, you know, there's 130 FBS teams out there. You know, you got your Power Five, your Group of Five, your Independents. So you go back over a month now, as far as since October 25th. If I told you that Vanderbilt, Cam Johnson, he has the most receptions for all FBS players since October 25th with 35. How many folks would be buying that?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, especially, you know, Cam didn't have an amazing start to the season. He was, like, basically the only guy who did show some flashes. I guess Amir Abdur-Rahman had a good game against Texas A&M. Cam at least showed a little bit of big playability. I think he had like a 40-yard reception against LSU, and we know that he's a former four-star recruit, really talented player. But, gosh, he has really come into his own here. And, I mean, yeah, I'm not shocked that I wouldn't have guessed that he was, you know, number one above, you know, among all FBS players or whatever in terms of that stat. But you do look down at the end of the game at the stat sheet, and he's got like 10, 11, 12 catches every single game. So, you know, imagine this, Johnny. He's a redshirt sophomore. This year also doesn't count from an eligibility perspective.
Right.
So in terms of pure eligibility, he has 4 years left.
I mean, plus look at the weapons, too. We talk about Ken Seals, Cam Johnson, Chris Pierce Jr., at least one receiving touchdown, four straight contests. The job that running back Kean Henry Brooks is doing, he's second in the SEC in all-purpose yards. So you got the offensive line clicking. You've got a nice running attack with Henry Brooks. You've got two gifted wide receivers. Ken Seals is certainly not playing like a true freshman. By the way, most passing yards ever by a freshman in Vanderbilt history. That's when you think about John Gromos, Jay Cutler. Ken Seals by himself, and each and every week now, he's just adding to his numbers. Am I crazy to the point where I'm thinking about just calling for the outright win by Vanderbilt today?
Well, I don't think you're crazy. Like, they have been trending in that direction for sure. I wouldn't pick it personally, but gosh, that would be one heck of a story if they win this game with Sarah Fuller kicking for them. And, you know, obviously if they win, she's probably going to kick at least a couple of extra points, maybe a field goal. That would be a pretty incredible story. All the other kickers are in quarantine. She's the only kicker who traveled, according to Adam Sparks from the Tennessean, and so she's going to become the first woman to appear in a Power 5 game. That's a really cool story, and if they win on top of that and she plays well, I mean, biggest story in college football certainly this week by far.
Yeah, she's certainly going to dress, and for those that don't know the backstory, here she is, the goalkeeper for the women's soccer team at Vanderbilt, a team that just won the SEC title. And so she is dressed, and I saw earlier, you know, already warming up. Can you imagine this game, waning seconds, Vanderbilt with a 35-yard field goal attempt to win that game against Missouri, and Sarah Fuller is out there attempting it? And look, that we've never had, as far as Power 5 conference games, we've never had a woman appear in a Power 5 game.
Yeah, I know. I'm laughing because, I mean, it's so unlikely. I just didn't expect this coming into the week. Nobody would have guessed this. But she's a really high-level athlete. She's 6'2". She, you know, routinely bombs the ball down the field on goal kicks as the goalkeeper for Vanderbilt. You know, they are the SEC champions. I think it's so difficult to throw anybody in from outside the program who's not a football player with like 4 days of practice. So that's going to be something to watch. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the timing and getting enough hang time on the ball, I think it's going to be a challenge for sure. But I've heard she has a really good leg. I'm not surprised by that. And, we'll see what happens on kickoffs, but in terms of, you know, having to tackle an SEC player. But I don't have any doubt. I mean, especially if she had more time to train, I'm sure she could be a good SEC kicker or a good solid kicker. So she certainly has the talent. I mean, if she goes in there and takes an extra point, I'm expecting it to go in. She's a high-level athlete. You know, we'll see what happens.
I mean, look, it's 2020. I mean, Oregon State beat Oregon last night. Why not? You know, go out. That would be certainly one of the biggest stories of the year if we're talking about a game-winning kick. I really feel good about Vanderbilt's chances today. You know, that's enough. So forget about just taking the points and watching them cover again. I really think that Vanderbilt, because once again, it's a team that has already blocked the outside noise. You know, they know there's a lot of apathy out there, a lot of people not paying attention. They also understand, you know, a lot of the fans are wondering who's going to be the next coach, for example. So why not, you know, go out with an interesting note this afternoon and pulling the upset in Missouri?
Yeah, and I will say this is, unfortunately there's been some, you know, toxic discourse about whether this is just a PR stunt playing Fuller this weekend, but I think one thing that it does legitimately is it kind of injects some juice into the program. Like, there's excitement surrounding this game. The players, you know, for the most part, I imagine are going to be pretty hyped up about seeing her get the kick in a game. And, you know, just from the inside the team perspective, when you're 0-7, things can get kind of drab and dreary pretty quickly, unfortunately. You know, I just don't think it's probably not a fun thing to lose every football game you play, right? So this is kind of the nice distraction from the players on some level, in some ways, being able to take their mind off the fact that they've lost the last seven games. And, obviously, I don't think that they would put her in there if she just didn't have a chance to succeed. Like,
hey,
I think, you know, I mean, I have no idea how it's going to go, but I haven't seen her kick, but she's got plenty of talent. I mean, she's a Division I SEC champion.
I remember Florida State in the mid-80s. They did not have a kicker on their roster, either healthy or for academic reasons. So they have a walk-on, Phillip Hall. And so I bring that up because you think about the Vanderbilt campus. Is she the most talented kicker walk-on on that Vanderbilt campus? And my guess is yes. So why not?
Yeah, well, the students aren't on campus. They're all off campus for, you know, until January 20th.
Well, I know, but what I meant was as far as enrolled in the school to get them, you know, you're not having somebody have to walk on from California. I mean, they're at least a part of the school
I'm
system.
Sure she'd be up there for sure. And, you know, like Kansas State, for instance, their kicker is a nice, solid kicker in the Big 12. He's like 5'5". So I think in terms of concern about, whether Fuller's going to be able to take a hit or whatever, you know, there are kickers across college football who are way smaller than her. That's what I would say.
All right, do me a favor. Remind the listeners again what they can expect coverage-wise when they go to Vandy247.com.
Yeah, well, basketball season is underway, so I'm going to have a lot of that. The Vanderbilt opened last night with the win against Valpo, and, of course, plenty of coverage live from today's football game. And recruiting. Vanderbilt actually got a 4-star commit from a big defensive tackle up in Maryland, Marcus Bradley. So I've got you covered there as well.
Hey, we appreciate you as always. Have a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, Robbie.
Thanks, as always.
All right, buddy. That's Robbie.